God want me to have any fun? You ever thought that? Doesn't God want us to have any fun? God has gotten such a bad rap. So often God is perceived as this dictatorial, authoritative killjoy who is trying to ruin everybody's fun and ruin your life and wreck it with this thing and that thing and the next. And that's our impression of God. It's kind of like as a child growing up, you always tell your parents, I remember telling this, can I ever have any fun? And you always get this picture of mom and dad, you know, trying to ruin your fun. We're going to talk about that today. I think mom and dads, we need to lighten up. But God has really gotten a bad reputation. And He's gotten that reputation wrongly. He doesn't deserve it. But what ends up happening is because we have a distorted view of God, we end up having a distorted view of life. And we go through life with this sort of mentality that, number one, why in the world would I want to be a Christian? Because Christians are smug, pious, killjoys, straight-laced, they never have any fun, they never do anything that's ever fun. And why in the world would I want to be a Christian? And then, those of us that come to know the Lord, become Christians, where we go in our youth and our zeal without knowledge, fun is wrong. It's unspiritual. And we wonder and we like knowing we're going to heaven, but sometimes our life, and I've talked to Christians like this, is more miserable as a Christian than before you came to know the Lord. You feel so shackled and so bound, and you just kind of humdrum through life, well, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth, biblically speaking. Nothing could be further from the truth that God has come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. That's why He came. And I would like to share with you this morning six areas, six things that God wants you to enjoy that tend to get a bad rap. And they're all biblical, every single one of them. It tells us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last paragraph of the chapter says this, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, we don't usually focus on that particular passage, but I want to talk about that today. The first aspect of life that God wants you to enjoy is leisure time, recreational opportunities, hobbies, fun. You know, it's interesting, we tend to think, and I remember this as a young Christian, when I came to know the Lord, I tell you, there's no time for fun. There's a world that needs to be reached. There's this going on and that going on. I don't have time for leisure time. And my goodness, never a nap. I mean, naps are sin, you know. Can't be taking no naps. Of course, then I hit 32 and sort of saw the light. I sort of matured into nap theology. You know, that kind of happens. You know, you get the nap doctrine. And it's funny how we perceive God. For example, in 6 days the Lord made the world, and the seventh day He rested. And He observed all that He made, and He took it in. This is great. Boy, and I see the Father said, Jesus, Spirit, Holy Spirit, let us just enjoy it. Look at all we made. This is incredible. Let's go down and, you know, this ocean is pretty awesome. Let's go down and walk around the bottom of that ocean. Let's scuba dive. I think God was probably the first scuba diver there ever was. He and Jesus just down into the water, man. And look at this fish and all this stuff we made. This is incredible. He's probably the first jet skier, too. To be honest, Jesus just could kind of do it without anything. Just kind of zzz, right over the top of the water. You think that's funny. But you know, what's interesting about God is this. Not only has God created this incredible world we live in, but He's created mankind, and man was His greatest creation. Not only, though, did God create us, but He created us in His image. What does that mean? It means He gave us creative abilities. That's part of what it means. He gave men and women the ability to be creative. He gave them a brain and a mind. He gave them an imagination. Have you ever walked up to a lake? Walk up to the lake, you look at the lake and go, that's a great lake. But you know, the lake by itself is boring. Until someone invented water skis, jet skis, pontoon boats, yachts, rafts, little docks that sit out there you swim to and you dive into, then the lake comes alive. You see, God gave people the ability to create that. God wants you to rest. In fact, in the Old Testament, He had set up a day that people would rest. And I hear people say, well, you know, the Sabbath day, really, you were just supposed to go around all day praying and all that. No, you weren't. It was a day to enjoy all that God had made, to enjoy the fruit of your labor, to rest, to relax. Many people today need to learn to relax. They're just slaves to their job. Enslaved to one thing or another. Now, the balance to this, obviously, Proverbs says, he who loves sleep will come to poverty. You see? When you're enslaved to sleep, then sleep is no longer any fun. You're the slave. See, where there's no freedom, there's slavery. See? And it's no fun to be enslaved to sleep. You feel like all the time, you just got to sleep. I got to sleep. That's not what we mean. But what I am saying is there's freedom. And God gave you freedom to enjoy the world He made. He's given us time to be able to enjoy. That doesn't mean that it's a bad use of your time to go to the lake, to go to a cabin, to go camp. That's not what God intended. He wants you to enjoy what He has made. And the Bible tells us again that He provided everything for our enjoyment. Second thing that I believe gets mistaken, and people have all kinds of regulations about, and it's totally misrepresented, is food and drink. Food and drink. Man, there's so many books written about what you eat, and you're supposed to eat this, and you're supposed to eat that, and you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do that. Listen, the same God that gave man the creative ability for the jet ski gave him the creative mind for frozen yogurt, and the creative mind for ice cream, and the creative mind for score bars. The creative mind for licorice, the creative mind for pizza, the creative mind for quiche, and the creative mind for etc., etc. Those are from God. He's blessed us with all of these things that we can enjoy. And yet I find so often people, their lives are so regulated. They're not free. They're regulated. The Bible says that in the last times, there'll be people who come along and forbid people certain kinds of food. You know, you're supposed to eat this kind of food on this day and not this kind of food on another day. Listen, God's given us all kinds of food to enjoy. And I think many of you would get over your obsession with food if you start enjoying what God gave you and thank Him for it instead of worrying about it. Enjoy it. When was the last time, really seriously, you sat down and you enjoyed it instead of going, oh my goodness, this is, oh, I'm going to get fatter. I'm going to put on more weight eating this thing. Oh, well, I'll try it. Just give me a little sliver. And you know you want a piece that big. Just give me just a little bit. I'm so disciplined. I'm disciplined too, and I can eat a piece that big. I enjoy eating. I could live on pizza. And get all your proper nutrients there. Your meat group, your carbohydrate group, your starch group, your protein group. I've tried to broaden my horizons as I've gotten older. I'm just recently getting into Chinese food. And I could live at Lian Chin's. I really could. I go, and every time I do go there, I meet someone for lunch. I have a friend, we meet once a week, we go to Lian Chin's. And you know what? I have the same thing every time. I've had it 25 times now. Kung Po beef, I think that's how you call it. These mild seasoned chicken wings, three of them, three cheese puffs and fried rice. And oh man, I could just live on this stuff. It's great. Now, I'm not into Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts and I, we just don't get along. Cooked spinach, egg salad, liver, and squash. Just about everything else I can eat. Now, that doesn't mean I enjoy all of it when I'm eating it, but I'm learning. But you know, you need Twinkies. Now, I love Hostess Twinkies. Those are really good. Hostess Twinkies. Hey, it's a wonderful thing, a gift from God to be able to enjoy it. Coca-Cola. You know, I love Diet Coke. I enjoy Diet Coke. Now, I'm not a slave to Diet Coke. I can live without it, but I enjoy it. I know Christians should tell you Diet Coke is from the devil. Oh, man, that Mountain Dew, it's really, that's bad. I don't know where we came up with this. And I'm going to talk about this in the weeks to come. Because I'm going to do a series starting next week entitled Breaking Out of the Religion Prison. But I want to tell you, you can't find this stuff in the Bible. There's one other aspect I want to cover. Psalm 104 regarding drink says this. God gives grass to the cattle. He provides plants for man to cultivate and eat. And it says, God provided a man with wine to gladden a man's heart and oil to make his face shine. There has been so much said about wine and alcohol in Christian circles. And I just want to make a comment on this, biblically speaking. The very first miracle Jesus did was not feed the masses. The very first miracle Jesus did, and you can go home and look this up yourself, was he took 6 20-30 gallon jars and he turned the water into wine, 180 gallons worth, at a wedding feast, a festive occasion. And the term, if you look it up, was fermented wine. It was not grape juice. Now, Jesus never would promote drunkenness, but that was the beauty of Jesus' life. The beauty is, look, I made this. If you get drunk on it, that's your fault. Don't you blame God for your excesses. Don't you blame God for your lack of discipline. Because, you know, it takes discipline to really enjoy life. God is the one who created it. I cannot stand here and say the Bible tells you you shouldn't touch the stuff. But I can also stand here and tell you that the Bible says don't abuse it. Don't misuse it. And there is liberty. Some of you have been, oh my goodness, should I do that? Some of you have been judging someone else has been doing it. You shouldn't ought to do that. Because the Bible is very clear on that subject. And we can go round and round about it. But see, that's the beauty of knowing Christ. There's freedom. There's freedom to enjoy what God has made. The third thing that I think gets really bent out of shape is humor and laughter. I remember when I first came to know Christ as a young Christian, I just thought laughter was no time for laughter. Let's get sober, people. There is serious business at hand. And we don't have time for this frivolous laughter, these stupid fun and games. You know, we don't have time to sit in front of the television, watch Gilligan's Island, or watch whatever. There's things to be doing. That's kind of how I ran my life. And I thank the Lord that I've matured. Because as I've grown in my Christian life in the last 15 years, the quality and enjoyment of my life has gone up 1,000%. As you grow in the Lord, your ability to enjoy life is only enhanced more and more. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes that when God blesses a man with wealth and possessions and food and drink, he should enjoy it and be satisfied. For this too is from God, a gift from God. For who can enjoy life without God? God is the author of enjoyment. We need to learn to laugh. A lot of us need to learn to laugh. A lot of us need to learn to enjoy a lot more humor. I watch so many people in Christians. It is no wonder people don't want to know our God. When we walk through life so smug, you know, so frowny. The Bible says a cheerful heart is good medicine. The Reader's Digest puts it, laughter is good medicine. I want to tell you, there is proof today, evidence that supports the healing properties of laughter. The healing properties of having a good time. This is one of the things that I do with my family probably more than anything else. We laugh. Because I remember growing up thinking to myself, all parents ever want to do is ruin your fun. And then I remember when I came to know the Lord, that's all I thought about God. God's just this killjoy, just this Pharaoh, you just serve Him. And God is not like that at all. Ted, you come over to our house sometime, the ghetto blaster's blaring, and we're dancing around the living room. Some of you saw us at the wedding dance. Where do you think they learned all that stuff? At Eric and Teresa's wedding, man. We break dance in the living room. We practice all that stuff. You know? And we have a good time. We'll run around the house chasing each other. Man, I flip. If you saw how I flip my kids, you'd scream abuse. You know, I mean, we wrestle around the living room and we have a really good time. And I'll tell you, it breaks my heart to hear of kids, and I talk to some of you that to me are you young people whose parents never played with them. They never did anything rowdy. They never did anything risky. They never did anything really fun. I know kids who never even saw their mom and dad kiss. So I'm going to talk about that in a little while. I mean, I'll tell you, life is to be grabbed and enjoyed and kept in perspective, you see. I remember when I was about 13 when we got our first television. And I remember the first show that was coming on when we got our television. Well, excuse me, I was younger than that. My dad bought a car and you got a free Motorola black and white TV for buying the car, see. Oh, and a baseball glove. I got the baseball glove and I was excited about the TV. And I must have been second or third grade, so I wasn't 13. And I remember Batman was just coming on. Batman and the Green Hornet. Oh, my mom wouldn't let us watch Batman. That's foolishness. That holy cow Batman. Holy Riddler Batman. What are we going to do? Well, Robin, let's go to the Batcave. I had a friend who was addicted to Batman. He lived two houses down the street. And I'd sneak over to his house, see, and watch Batman. And then I'd lie to my mom. See? I reflected back in my childhood and I thought, you know, TV's gotten a lot worse, in my opinion, today than harmless little Batman. You watch Batman sometimes, it's kind of amazing how moral it is. I mean, it is a little, it's crazy. But it's really interesting to watch. And I thought, you know, should I or should I not get a TV? And then one day I thought, you know, I'm going to get one. I'm going to teach my children how to use it so it doesn't use them. Because when I grew up, it used me. It controlled me. But I'll tell you, there's great freedom to be able to go get a movie, stick it in, and watch it with my kids. Laugh and laugh and laugh. I'll tell you, we enjoy life. I had a friend, pastor friend, come to my home about 7 months ago. And many of you would know him if I mentioned his name. He's not from this town, this state. And I saw him, he and his wife, about 3 months ago, and we were at a conversation table, and he said, you know, I want to tell you something. I've been in pastors' homes all around the country. You have the most fun, lively, enjoyable kids that I've been around. And I believe it's because we emphasize fun. Life is to enjoy. Life is to grab and live it with all you've got. The fourth thing that I think we need to understand God wants us to enjoy is friends, friendship. Probably the greatest joy in my life is friendship. And you know, it's interesting the dynamics between a pastor and his friends. See, because to everyone in the church, I am the pastor. I don't always like that. But you know, you try to break the stereotypes. I try really hard to break the stereotypes. And I'll go out with people and we'll be sitting there and they kind of expect you to take this pastoral role. And it's going to kind of disciple them and teach them and train them. And I was out with a couple the other night and we're just sitting around and I said, you know, I want to tell you something. I said, I don't know what you perceive when we go out to these little times together. If you think of them as Jesus and his disciples. But I said, I want to tell you how I think of it. I said, I just plain am edified by your company. I just enjoy being with you, whether we talk or not talk. I just feel enjoyment just being in your presence. I just enjoy it. I love friends. And you know what's interesting about everything I've talked about so far? You do all of them with other people. You do recreational things with other people. Now, oftentimes we spend our leisure time, our sports, with other people. We eat and drink with other people. We laugh with other people. Have you ever tried laughing alone? Have you ever tried sit in your room? Oh, that's a funny joke. I don't know. You know, I'm kind of rare that way. I can watch a movie and laugh by myself. I don't care if nobody else around. You know, it's like me and the Lord. This is hilarious, Lord. This is really funny. One of the funniest shows around is Andy Griffith. Don Knotts. Every time I see the guy, I just laugh. And just looking at those beady eyes popping out of his head just makes me laugh. I like to laugh. I like to laugh. You shed a lot of worry, a lot of burdens, but I always do it with other people. And sometimes we think we're supposed to have this ulterior motive for friendship. One of the greatest things to me about the Christian life is the joy of becoming friends with people and then, as part of our friendship, sharing Christ with them. That to me is one of the richest joys in my life. It's people. They're fun. They're different. They're entertaining. And then there's some that God just uniquely bonds you together. And there's a richness there that is unlike anywhere else in the world. So I want to encourage you to learn to enjoy your friendships. Don't take them for granted. Enjoy them. Enjoy them. Find satisfaction in them. Fifth thing that I want to talk about, that God wants you to enjoy, and this has an asterisk by it, because this is a qualifying statement to those of you who are married, is sex. Now you young children, plug your ears. Actually, leave them unplugged. I think you need to get a good perspective about sex. God made it. I didn't come up with sex. I try to always remind my wife of that. I didn't come up with it. God made it. God's the one who created this. He's the one who made us male and female. He's the one who gave us physical sensation. He's the one who gave us the desire for intimacy. God made it. But it has gotten such a bad rap today because it has been so misused and so perverted and so sleazy. See, with sex comes commitment. It's sort of like driving a car. Driving a car is a privilege that is given to you by the state. You might like to drive when you're 13, but I'd advise you not to. And then you come of age and you're able to maintain that responsibility, and then you can get your driver's license. You can drive. Sex is the same way. God is not trying to wreck your fun. God is simply telling you that you were designed for sex in marriage. And when it's in marriage, you can have a good time with it. And when you don't, you're not. I promise you that. I've counseled enough people to tell you, not only from God's word, but from my own observation and experience, if you want to blow your sexual enjoyment, be immoral. Have premarital sex, and you'll wreck it. You'll wreck it for your future and you'll wreck it right now. See, God doesn't give us these rules, you know, to ruin your life. He gives it to you to bless your life. But now to you couples, I want to really encourage you to change your mindset. There's a speaker, he goes around, his name's Josh McDowell. He speaks to college students. I wish he'd come and speak to grown-ups sometimes, people over the 30. He makes this statement. Don't ever forget it. The greatest sex organ in the body is the mind. The greatest sex organ of the body is the mind. And I see so many Christians who are so smug about sex, they'll never talk about it. It's something to endure and not to enjoy. If that's true, why does the Bible tell us in Proverbs chapter 5, says this, always, underline that word, always be, and it uses this word, intoxicated with her love. Let her loving embrace and her tender charms, let her body fill you with delight. Well, I don't know how you get any stronger than that. Intoxicated means drunk. It means caught up with. It means enraptured in. And that goes for men as well as women. And we need to get our mind changed about what God says about what He made. That's really all there is to it. Shed the past. Shed those inhibitions. And say, look, God made this. It's good. I'm going to learn to enjoy it. You know, that's the neat thing about growing in the Lord. When I first got married, well, we enjoyed our physical relationship. But I'll tell you, 11 years later, unlike most couples, 11 years later, it's better now than it was then. I find with most couples, it's less frequent, it's less enjoyable, it's more endured. And pretty soon you reach an age, who even cares? And it's no wonder we have a difficulty with adultery in America. See? And with always wanting to go somewhere else. Because we're not enjoying what God gave us to enjoy. And the sixth thing that I believe gets a bad rap, a bad reputation, is possessions. There is nothing wrong with possessions. There is something totally wrong with living for possessions. Jesus said a man's life does not consist of the things he possesses. But there is nothing wrong with owning a boat. And there is nothing wrong with having a cabin. And I hope that you can enjoy your home. I hope you can go home today, walk in the door, sit in that air conditioning, if you have it. And if you don't, well, you know, enjoy the carpeting. You know, enjoy the sweat. You know, enjoy the men in deodorant. I don't know. Find something to enjoy. Thank God for deodorant. You think, well, where would we be without deodorant? You ever ask yourself that question? Thank God someone had a creative mind to come up with deodorant. Same is true with air conditioning. I love air conditioning. I love our home. I don't live for a home. If it burns tomorrow, I don't care. But I enjoy it. I enjoy our fireplaces. I make fires when you shouldn't make fires. When it's 90 degrees out, I make fires. I love fires. And I love to sit in front of the fireplace, and it calms me down. Believe me, I need something to calm me down. So it calms me down, relaxes me. I get into my contemplative mood, sometimes a romantic mood. I just love a fireplace, a car. I think it's great to have a car. Well, I like my car. I try to take good care of my car. There is I love my ghetto blaster. I like it. I'm not enslaved to it. But I enjoy it, and I thank God for it. I hope that you get a perspective today that God intended for you to enjoy life. You know, one of the greatest joys I have in my life is as a daddy. I love to give things to my kids. I love to see them get what they want. There is such a thrill in seeing a child with that toy or that thing or being somewhere in your heart. Just, I can't describe it to you. When you become a parent, you'll know what I'm saying. There's just this joy, and I'll tell you, it breaks my heart. The other day we had a situation. My children wanted to take gymnastic lessons, and I really wanted to give them to it, but it was $100 a month. They all three really liked gymnastics. And I just, you know, and it was 9 months long. It was $900. It just broke my heart, just totally broke my heart to tell my little daughter, honey, I wish I could, but I can't right now. But if you hang on, I'll do my best to work it out so we can do it. Do you know God's more of a daddy than I am? God is the ultimate father. He is the ultimate in fatherhood. And He loves seeing you enjoy life. I think one of the things that makes God the saddest and breaks His heart is when He sees people not really enjoying what He intended for them to enjoy. Not really getting the satisfaction from life that He intended. And of course, we know that the only way we can truly enjoy Him and the world we live in is to know Him. That's what it's all about. But there's a lot more than just knowing Him. There's knowing Him and enjoying the things that He made. I want to encourage you to enjoy your Labor Day weekend. I want to encourage you to have a good time with your friends. Laugh. Have a good time with your family. Have a good time eating. Don't worry about your diet. Unless you're diabetic. Then you got a real good reason to. Enjoy your time. Because it's very short. It's very short. Enjoy it. Enjoy your leisure activities. Enjoy, Solomon says, enjoy life with your wife. Some people think that's pretty challenging, Mark. Just do it. Just do it. You know, I like what one man said. He said, you don't feel your way into actions, you act your way into feelings. Do it. Start enjoying life. I want to encourage every one of you, you need to learn to enjoy life. You need to learn. I mean, you know, I have this happen on a regular basis. I'll go in shopping. And I'll try on all the leather coats. I like leather coats. I'm sorry, I'm into them. I'm not going to buy them all, but I like them. Just something about leather coats. Some people are into stereos and CD players. I like leather coats. And I go in, and I'll tell you, on a regular basis, I have the clerk comment, man, this guy's just having a good time. That's right, I'm having a good time. I remember one time we went in and we were with Jane and Mike. Mike's the guitar player up here tonight. And we were looking for a coat for him. And I was, oh, Mike, try this one on. Try this one. And the guy's just standing back going, this is great. You guys made my day. And my wife goes, yeah, you're never going to believe this. This guy's a pastor of our church. You're kidding. A pastor who laughs. A pastor who likes to try a leather coat. You got to be kidding. Something must be wrong. You know what happened? The guy wanted to get close to us. Pretty soon he was overhanging around us. He didn't worry about the other customers because he was having a good time. I've been into more than one restaurant and had the waitress tell me, you just made my night. I wish we had that testimony. I wish we were people who really knew how to enjoy the moments in time that God gave you. So I want to encourage you, enjoy your weekend. Next week, I'm going to start a series entitled, The Bulletin's Not Right There. I'm going to start a series entitled, Breaking Out of the Religion Prison. And I believe many people are missing what they could really have because they think Christianity is religion. If you think that, you come to the series, you're going to find out different. Many people that we're reaching out to today, and many of you, have had a religious background. God wants to help you break out of those things. He wants you to understand what real life really is all about. And that's what I'm going to talk about for the next 4 weeks. Let's just bow our heads and thank the Lord for our time.